Solver.
A sure cure for common colds.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a wife?
The bitter half.
The bitter half. Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. It's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Thank you. Thank you, Johnny. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, once again, we're here with that quiz program that has become an institution because that's where it belongs. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think a steam fitter is a man who fits steam together. Of course, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Inside the Aquarium, or Fish Gets in My Eyes. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I know.
Yes, I kissed her in the garden. 'Twas a moonlight night. She was a marble statue, and I was a little bit tight.
I imagine.
You know, her heart was made of stone.
All right.
So I took her for granite.
You took her for granite. Next, we have a woman who speaks for herself and anyone else who happens to be around. A woman with such large bags under her eyes, you'd think she's peeking at you out of a kangaroo's pouch. Here she is, whispering Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I went to my doctor over a month ago, and he put me on a diet. And I don't seem to lose an ounce.
Well, did you stick to the diet? Did you eat just what the doctor told you?
Yes, I did.
You didn't eat anything else?
Nothing.
Good.
Except, of course, my regular meal.
Oh, well. All right. Next, we have a man who really should be hung, but he can't because he hasn't any head. A man who eats oil margarine, but although he has seen butter days, here he is, George Shelton.
Say, you, Mr. Howard, I was alone last weekend, so I took a trip down to Coney Island all by myself. And you know, the funniest thing happened.
Uh-huh. What happened?
I took a ride through the Tunnel of Love.
Uh-huh.
And when I come out, I was engaged to a top sergeant.
All right, now that you've met the experts, folks, we'll get right along with tonight's questions. Here's the first question this evening. In the poem, The Village Blacksmith, can you tell me the vocation of the man the poem is about?
Mr. Howard, who wrote the poem?
All right, never mind. We'll just skip that.
Skip it. Oh, shall we go on to the next?
The next what?
Next question.
Well, wait a minute. We haven't tried to answer the first question yet.
I thought you said we ought to skip it.
I didn't say we should skip the question. I said we just skip the writer of the poem.
Why, Mr. Howard?
Because that is not the question.
All right, then what is the question? What do you keep this in suspenders for?
Suspenders. Very cute. In the poem, The Village Blacksmith, what is the vocation of the man mentioned in the poem?
What is your vocation, Mr. Shelton?
Oh, my vocation. Oh, the last 2 weeks in August.
No. That's vacation, you nitwit. Vacation.
My old man and I spent our vacation in Atlantic City. The clerk of the hotel said to me, "Do you want twin beds?" I said, "Don't be silly. Me and my old man ain't twins."
No. There couldn't be two of you.
No.
You know, I went up to the mountains for my vacation, but I had a terrible time getting a room. The clerk at the hotel said the only room he could give me was with an Indian.
Are you sure he said Indian?
Well, he said the only thing he had was a single room with running water.
Running water, right. Very nice.
He was the father of Rain in the Face.
All right. Well, listen, you three drips. The question's not about vacations. It's about the pole. The Village Blacksmith.
Oh, I know that poem, Mr. Howard. It was a balmy summer evening and a goodly crowd was there. That well-nigh filled Joe's barroom at the corner of the square.
That's the face on the barroom floor.
Oh, no, Mr. Howard. No, the face on the barroom floor goes like this. Under the spreading chestnut tree.
Oh, Mr. Look, that's the Village Blacksmith. Now, what was his occupation or his vocation? What was he doing under the chestnut tree?
Picking chestnut.
He was picking chestnut. Mr. Shelton, if you take real good care of yourself and get plenty of sleep and eat the proper food, you have excellent chances of becoming an idiot.
No.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Shelton. I'll do my best.
Yes, start tomorrow, will you?
I'll start tonight.
Can we please get back to the questions about a famous poem?
How's the poem go again, Mr. McNaughton?
Under the spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands and stands and stands. No seats. Do you know the man's got fallen arches?
Ah, oh, please.
What's his name?
Mr. McDonald told you his name. Smitty. Smitty.
Yeah. Oh, I know a man whose name is Smitty.
Yeah? Was he standing under a chestnut tree?
No, he's laying under a wall of table.
I still like my poem best. It was a balmy summer evening.
Ah, Mr. Shelton, please, will you cut it out?
I like that poem, too. It reminds me of my old man.
Oh, really? Does your old man recite the piece on the barroom floor?
No, but I've seen him laying on it lots of times.
Don't you know anybody that stands up on their feet?
Give me that piece of chalk with which you mark the baseball shield.
Look, Mr. Shelton, I would like to give you a rope. Will you shut up?
Go right ahead, Mr. Shelton. It's beautiful.
Another drink with chalk in hand, the vagabond began.
Yeah.
And he drew the face that well might buy the soul of any man.
Ah, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
I love it.
Shakespeare, yes. You love it. Will you kindly come?
I like Shakespeare, too.
You like Shakespeare. He probably liked you a lot.
Steps. maybe five. What do I care for a couple of stairs?
No.
So I reached the 17th floor. There were flames to the right of me, flames to the left of me, and into the Valley of Death rode the 600. That was another fire, wasn't it? There I was, trapped, blinded by smoke, my clothes in flames.
Goodness, what happened?
Was I burned up?
Mr. McGill, what became of the young lady?
Yeah, what young lady?
You said there was a young lady on the 18th floor, but you only reached the 17th floor. How about the young lady on the 18th floor?
Oh, that was another story.
That was just... Will you let's get on with the question, why does a fireman wear red suspenders?
You know, my cousin Lucy married a fireman.
She did? Volunteer?
Volunteer?
Yeah.
No, her father made him.
You know, I passed a burning house the other day and the smoke was pouring out in volumes.
It was?
Mm, the fire must have been in the library, I guess.
Yeah.
Down in our town, we have a new fire engine and two dogs.
And what's the two dogs for?
They run ahead and find the fire plugs.
Fireplace and clothes closet built in our house.
Well, what's the clothes closet and the fireplace for?
So that the guests can hang their clothes up.
Yeah, but don't the clothes burn?
Not as good as coal. Then,
what can you expect, Dutton?
Mr. McNaught, you get in my hair.
No, you get in mine. There's more of it.
Can anyone tell me why a fireman wears red suspenders?
For the same reason that a black cow eats green grass and gives white milk that makes yellow butter.
Come to our contestants. While Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up here, we fill in that gap with our orchestra. An orchestra whose members have always played Bach. Bach of a saloon. Here he is, Dr. Novick, and the short ones without a head, Dr. Novick.
Shovel maker in a playing card factory. You were a shovel.
bottle maker in a playing card factory.
I used to make all the spades.
Young fellow. Oh. Someone should beat you over the head with a club for that one.
Oh, Mr. Howard, you're quite a card.
I'm quite a card. You can both go to the deuce.
Oh, cut it out.
Come on, let's shuffle along.
Oh, will you cut it out, please?
Pay no attention to them, my private. We're glad to have you with us, I said before. And you were born in Vienna, Austria. That is marvelous. How long have you been over here?
Oh, 4 years.
Only 4 years? Well, tell me, this is very interesting. In Vienna, were you in the German army by any chance?
Well, I was 2 years in the Hitler Youth, and then I was inducted in the German army.
You were inducted in the German army. I take it that you were forced into the German army. How'd you get out of the German army? You managed to escape or something?
That's right. My uncle got me out.
Oh, got you over here.
That's right.
And then you got in our army.
That's right. I enlisted in the American army.
Isn't that great? And I noticed you got some service stripes. I take it that you've been overseas then.
Yes, sir. I have the European campaign with 5 battle stars and the Purple Heart.
So you went back to Germany and fought the Germans. Oh, well, I know from that attitude you are, if you're not already, you are going to be an American citizen.
I am already.
You are already. Good for you, my boy. You certainly knew what side you were fighting for. What did you expect to do after you get out of the service?
Oh, I expect to go back to college.
Back to college? Well, I hope when you get out, you'll get a very successful position or job someplace.
Oh, you won't have much trouble, I don't know. I remember after the last war, I didn't have a bit of trouble getting a job.
Where'd you work?
Play, Bob?
I said, where did you work?
I got a job in a dry cleaning shop.
A dry cleaning shop? Mm.
Was the work hard?
Only in spots.
Oh.
Oh, college
boy. Never mind. Somebody ought to put you through the ringer for that.
Well,
get on here. As I said, Otto, we are certainly very glad to have you with us.
We sure are. What's your first name, Otto?
What's your first name, Otto?
He's a cute kid, ain't he?
He's a very nice-looking boy.
Oh, he's better than that. He's swell. He's cute. Oh, he's cute.
All right.
Boy, would I love to hug you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, would I love to hug you. The pressure would be all mine.
The pressure? The pressure would be all ours.
Bob, you can just call me referee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good in the clinches.
You're good in the clinches. Yes, and you've been through the ropes, too. Private, will you reach into the dunce cap and pick a question for us, please? And when you get one, would you be good enough to read it? Just take your time and read it right into the microphone.
From what kind of mine do we get gold ore?
That's very nice. From what kind of mine do we get gold ore?
Gold or what?
Gold ore. What do you mean, gold or what?
What is it, gold or silver, copper, brass, nickel or dime?
Red or shirt, tea or coffee, lemon or cream or pie.
Ah, all right, all right. It's just an Irish stew, you clock. You know, let's get on there.
Don't you call me a clock.
Look for an Irish stew, look. I talked about gold ore.
Gold ore what?
Just gold ore.
Oh, come now, Mr. Howard. You can't leave a sentence hanging up in the air like that. Let's finish the sentence, old boy.
Mr. McDonald, doesn't Sandy run in your family?
Oh, dear, no. No, it walks.
There are different kinds of ores. Gold, silver, iron,
wood,
and then what do you mean, wood? There are no wood ores.
What are you talking about? How do you suppose I row my boat?
Why? Strikes a base. Sometimes the veins are very close together.
Like my sister's.
Like a... What do you mean, like your sister?
She has very close veins.
The R is taken to the smelter.
What does he do? Smell it?
Mr. Sheldon, how old are you?
42.
No, you couldn't be. You couldn't be that dumb in 42 years.
All right, maybe 43. What are you going to do, make a lawyer out of me for a year?
Look, Mr. McGonagall, can you tell me where they get gold?
No, I can't. I'm sorry, Mr. Howard. If I knew, I'd get some myself.
And you don't know, Mr. Sheldon.
I certainly do. You get gold out in Iowa.
In Iowa?
In Des Moines.
In Des Moines.
My old man used to work in Des Moines. He works hard, too. He works 16 hours a day.
No. Union hours are 8 hours a day.
He belongs to two unions.
Yeah. So we're very glad to have you with us. What are you doing in New York?
I'm on a 10-day furlough.
You're on a 10-day furlough. Fine. I hope you're enjoying it. Are you having a nice time?
Yes, I'm having a nice time.
Good. What'd you do before you entered the service?
I worked for the YMCA.
For the YMCA in Riverdale?
No, in New York.
Oh, in New York. Oh, then you know New York quite well.
Yes, sir.
What do you expect to do when you get out of the service? Go back to Riverdale?
I hope to get married.
You hope to get married?
After all the war she's been in, she's going to get married?
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to have a bit of trouble, I'll tell you that right now.
What do you know?
Too bad I ain't younger, is it, Mr. Sheldon?
After all, you know, Miss Frey is getting ready for the fray. I just made it up on the spur of the moment.
Let's get on it, Peggy.
Well, I bet you girls are good and glad to get back in civilian clothes again. I bet you. You know, my old man's going to buy me a sable coat this winter.
Your old man's going to buy you a sable coat?
Really?
Uh-huh. Mr. Howard. You think I look good in a sable?
Yes, I do, Miss McDonald.
You really think I look good in a sable?
I said I think you look good in a... Did you say sable? Oh, pardon me. I thought you said stable.
Shut up, you old decayed pump handle.
Please. Miss Ray, will you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? Will you read the question?
What game is a bowling ball used?
In what game is a bowling ball used? Is that right? The question is about sports.
Oh, about sports. You know, I went bowling last night, Mr. Howard. I can hardly move today. I got rather stiff in the joints.
Uh-huh.
Well, you should stay out of joints.
You know, there's one game I like. Of course, I just started bowling, and I'm a little green yet.
I have relatives there.
You have relatives where?
Bowling Green.
Bowling
Green. That's down in Kentucky.
Yeah, all right.
Near the Tennessee border.
All right, I...
Right across...
All right, Miss McConnell. I don't expect me going down there in the new teach. You don't tell me about it.
Oh, we have a beautiful Tennessee border living at our house.
Oh. I thought that was just an ugly rumor.
It's just an ugly rumor. Will you please, let's get on here.
Well, let's get on this.
Mr. Sheldon, you said you've done some bowling.
Yes.
Did you make a strike yet?
Oh, sure, that's how I met the pin boy.
Well... What do you mean, that's how you met the pin boy?
Well, I picked up one of those 16-pound balls and threw it down the alley.
But how did you meet the pin boy?
My thumb got stuck in the ball. I went down the alley with it.
I see.
Right on the beam.
Right on the beam.
That's a new name for it.
Yeah, all right.
I think you must have hurt your dignity.
Well, I sure did. I had to get a new pair of trousers.
You had to get a new pair of trousers?
I bring my britches behind me.
Oh.
You, Mr. Sheldon. Look, you all seem to know a little bit about bowling, so try and answer the question.
Well, I know something about bowling. I saw a young lady bowling the other evening. She was wonderful. She had a beautiful curve.
Only
one?
Said, you know, she was a beautiful blonde, too.
She was?
Yeah, she made three spares in a row.
Made three spares. What was her name?
Well, they called her Goldilocks. Yeah, Goldilocks and her three spares.
Goldilocks and three spares.
I always thought that was bears.
Yeah. Well, he reached a little bit there.
I used to live right next door to a bowling alley.
You did?
Yeah.
Was it noisy?
Noisy? No. You could hear a pin drop.
You could hear it.
I don't get it.
Well, that's about all on tonight's session, folks. We'll be around your way again this time next week. We'd like to have you listen. Another thing that might seem hard to believe, it pays to be ignorant, will be a special broadcast from... Hall. What are things coming to? Pays to be ignorant in Carnegie Hall. Now, here is that sweet singer from the swamps who used to sing Chloe, but she never answered him. Here he is to tell you just what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be young, to be deaf, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Each
for the record,
That's all.